Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Prophet Isaiah begins, "Have you not known? Have you not heard?" This is how the text confronts us today. Doesn't confront us with new information. We haven't come to Isaiah to hear something new that we've never heard before. There's not even going to be any hidden insight into this sermon from Isaiah. He just starts it off with a question. A question that kind of assumes something. Y'all already know this. I guess that's the southerner in me, isn't it? Y'all already know this. You're such a gracious people. I love you. You all, you guys, I don't know, what's the phrase there? You people, you know this. Some of you are thinking, well, Pastor, just wind this sermon up and let's move on. You've heard it before. You've confessed it. You've taught it to your children. And yet, some of you still don't believe it. Or at least you're struggling to believe it, which is probably where most of us are, myself included sometimes. And that's where Israel is. Israel are not a bunch of ignorant, foolish people. They're not pagans by any stretch of the imagination. They are the people of God. They know their creed. They know the promises. They know who the Lord is. They remember the campfire stories by the grandfathers and the grandmothers who told them of the great deeds and works of God. But they're in exile. Their city has been conquered. Their temple has been destroyed. Their walls have been torn down. They have been placed in chains and they have been dragged to the country of Babylon. And there they are servants, almost as bad as it was when they were back in Egypt. And so everything around them, every experience that they have says to them, God has forgotten you. And so they just say it out loud. And they do it in kind of a self-centered way. They say things like, my way is hidden from the Lord. And my rights have been disregarded by my God. Do you hear that? I mean, it's this weird kind of struggle that happens in all of us where there's, on one hand, faith, but on the other hand, selfishness? Self-centeredness? But let's be clear, they're not atheists, and neither are you. They're not even rebellious intentionally, and neither are you. Or you wouldn't be here today. Now, there are some pastors today who might be preaching on this, and they're going to say something like, well, you know what? Faithfulness comes from following the Word of God. And so they're going to talk a lot about faithlessness. They're going to say to the people of God, you just don't have enough faith. You need to work harder at it. You need to do better. If you just did better, you wouldn't have all the problems you have in your life. Man, I think that's dead wrong. I mean, dead wrong. I don't want to be that pastor standing before the throne of God and telling God that's how he took care of God's people. You know what I think? I think these words, as scandalous as they may seem, is probably something that every single one of us in this room have dealt with, and that's this weariness that's trying to speak to God. I mean, just tiredness that's trying to speak to God. I think what they did and what they said, same thing I would say, same thing probably many of you would say, and you know what I think it is? I think it's just faith that's exhausted. You ever been exhausted? And if we're honest, every single one of us can recognize that voice in the prophet Isaiah, because like them, we know the doctrine. We're Lutherans, after all. We've got these pastors that are just horrifically annoying about the catechism. Drill it, ground it into you. You know all the words. God is mighty. God is good. God cares for you. You've confessed every single one of those things. But then something happens in your life, and suddenly, all of a sudden, your thoughts start saying, God doesn't see this. God doesn't care about this. God doesn't care about you. God doesn't even miss you anymore. I think there are folks that have fallen away from the church that the devil tries to console them by saying, no one misses you at church. No one misses you as a part of the people of God. When Jesus gives himself at his holy table, he doesn't look around to see if you're not in your seat. And we become susceptible to that. You know why? Because we're tired. And so what does Isaiah say to that? All right. He doesn't give them a new argument. He doesn't explain God's plan. How many of us haven't said, Lord, if I just knew what you were doing, I'd be okay with this? No, you wouldn't. Neither would I. He doesn't map out a plan of how all of this exile thing is going to work out for him. And in the end, everything's going to be okay. And you're going to say, that wasn't a big deal because look at what I got now. Instead, he just says this. Are you ready? It is the crux of the message today. Are you ready? Here it is. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Oh, that's it? Well, what does that mean? Well, it means this. Go back. Just go back to what you've already confessed. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, Isaiah says. You and I, we have our catechism language. The Jews had their language. We have our language. Other Christians might have their language. There's nothing wrong with the languages as long as it goes back to the same thing, the Word of God. Open your catechism. You're in a Lutheran church. Open your catechism to the first article of the creed. Unfortunately, there's no table of contents. So look over at your neighbor. First article of the creed. It's on page 6, by the way. That way you don't have to be embarrassed. What is the first article of the creed? You say it with me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. The pastor then says, what does this mean? And then together we say, I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey. This is most certainly true. You learned that as a child, didn't you? The pastor and the elders may have examined you to make sure that you had that down pat. And as you left on your confirmation Sunday and walked back out, pretty much everything that it taught you dribbled out of your ears, didn't it? Just kind of how it works. I get it. I'm not trying to be mean. But even if you forgot the words, you know the teachings. I believe God has made me, you. Not only that he makes you, not he just didn't make you and turn you free. He takes care of you. Right down to the clothing. Right down to the shoes on your feet. And that's what Israel knows. That's what you know. Isaiah says, he does not grow faint or weary, but you do, Israel. His understanding is unsearchable. You're not going to understand God. And that's where the problem begins for most of us, isn't it? Because we just don't like that. We want God to be understandable. It's got to make sense. We want to be able to trace his reasoning so that we can pass our opinion. We want to say, ah, now I see why this is happening. And this is the temptation, brothers and sisters. We turn faith into figuring out God. To think that peace will come when we can finally explain him. Why this happened. Why that didn't happen. Why things went this way instead of that way. But Isaiah slams that door shut and he says his understanding is unsearchable. Let's say that together. His understanding is unsearchable. Not difficult. Not complicated. Unsearchable. Which means this. You will never climb up into God's mind and make sense of your life. It's not going to happen. And you know what? That's actually good news. Because if your comfort depends on explaining God, you're never going to find comfort. So what does God give you? An explanation? We've come here for an explanation today, Lord. Yeah, let me get behind you when we say that. No. Why do we come today? Because he's going to give us a gift. He gives us his gift in his word. He reminds us of the gift that he continues to give us in our baptism. He's going to give us the gift of his true body and his true blood. That's what Isaiah says. He gives power to the faint. He increases strength. But I want you to notice the direction here. You're not going up to him to get it. He's coming down to you to give it to you. Because even the strongest of us fail. And man, the older I get, the more I see the strength of the youth that we have in our midst here. And I'm like, I remember that. Wistfully. And then I try to stand up without creaking. Or without grunting. A couple weeks ago, Ian got off the chair and he went, oh, as he got off the chair. And his mommy said, what's wrong, Ian? Ian said, I'm trying to be like Daddy. Even youths shall faint and be weary. Even young men fall exhausted. The ones who should have strength, they're the ones who don't have it. Which means this is not about your capacity. It's not about digging deeper inside yourself. Man, that worked well when I was coaching basketball. Dig deeper. But it doesn't work in life. Because it's not just hang on a little longer. That's not what Isaiah says. What does Isaiah say? Wait for the Lord. And that word wait, it doesn't mean try harder. It doesn't mean hold on tighter. It doesn't mean be more spiritual. It means receive, depend, hope, be given to. And this is where we need to be clear, especially today, because there are lots of people who hear this passage and they're going to turn it into God has a plan for you. Everything happens for a reason. And while that may sound comforting, it often turns God into something that you're supposed to decode, as if your job is to figure out what he's doing. Or other folks will take this passage and they'll turn it inward. Well, I just need to trust more. Well, I just need to believe harder. I just need to be stronger. But then, you know, listen, that just makes the strength depend on you, not him. That's not what Isaiah is doing here. He's not sending you inward. He's not even sending you upward. He's sending you back to what God gives to you. And here is where we must not stop short. Because the promise isn't generic. And a lot of pastors will just stop there and they'll say, you just need to know that God's giving it to you. Well, I'm going to take a few extra minutes and tell you where, how, and why. Because it's not abstract, it's fulfilled. He gives you real stuff. Because the everlasting God who does not grow weary did grow weary one day. Do you know that? He sat down at a well, he fell asleep on a boat, and most importantly, he staggered under a cross. So much so that somebody else had to carry it for a while. And the one whose understanding is unsearchable entered into your confusion, entered into your suffering, and bore on his back the penalty that was rightfully yours. He walked into your exile. And on the cross, he even takes up Israel's complaint. Remember what he says on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? He entered fully into what you feel. When God was seemingly absent. So that now, and I want you to hear this clearly, your comfort is not, well, I understand God now. Thank you, Pastor. Your comfort is this. God gave himself to you. He gives you his word, not explanations, but promises. He gives you absolution at the beginning of the service. Remember that? That wasn't me that gave it. It was him that gave it. Not a theory, not a feeling, but the true forgiveness spoken into your ears. He gives you baptism, not just a symbol, but a new birth that you can point to. And here in a moment, he's going to give you his supper. Not a reminder, but his very body and his very blood for your strength. And this is how the faint are strengthened. This is how the weary endure. Not by figuring God out, but by receiving God where he has placed himself for you. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, not because they are strong, but because they had been given strength. They shall run and not be weary, not because life got easy, but because God upheld them. They shall walk and not faint, not because they understand everything, but because they were sustained. So when the voices rise up in you, my way is hidden from the Lord, don't try to climb up into heaven and prove otherwise. Don't try to explain your life. Instead, simply hear the words of the prophet. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Go back to what you've been taught. Back to what you have confessed. Back to what God gives you. Because if God has named every star in the heaven, has he not also named you? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.